In the name of Jesus, amen. Grace, mercy, peace, and joy to you from God our Father in heaven and from Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Who are you? Why are you here? These are simple questions, or at least they seem to be. The answers to these questions are the basis on which we build our entire identity. And it's these same questions which can cause us the most trouble if we feel like we aren't able to answer them. When faced with these questions, we can feel lost and directionless if we don't have an answer for them. This directionless feeling, if left unchecked, can even lead to sorrow and despair as we sink more and more into a crisis of identity. Shortly after our reading today, Christ's disciples will know and understand this kind of crisis and the sorrow that it brings. Our gospel reading today comes from John chapter 16. It's near the end of the 5-chapter-long dialogue between Christ and his disciples on that last feast of the Passover before the crucifixion. As Christ is drawing the dinner to a close, he says these words in verse 16 to his disciples in order to give them comfort in the days ahead. "A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while, and you will see me." He's foretelling his own death. "In a little while, you will not see me." Only a few hours from when he says these things to the disciples, Christ will be arrested, betrayed by one of the very men who has traveled with him for the past 3 years. But he's also telling them of his resurrection, when death will be defeated and Christ will rise victorious, ruler of heaven and earth. But the disciples don't understand. They can't. Not until they see Christ resurrected. And so Jesus tells the disciples that in a short time, they will experience great sorrow. But again, a short time later, that sorrow will turn into joy, and the whole world will rejoice with them when Christ returns in glory. The disciples do know sorrow. They experience sorrow because of the loss of their beloved Lord. In their travels with Christ, the disciples had an identity. They had a purpose. In their travels with Christ, they were commissioned to spread the good news of his salvation and to cast out demons in his name. But with their Savior gone, all hope seems lost to them. And the disciples find themselves doing and saying things that they never would have thought possible when Christ was with them. Earlier in the night, at the end of John 13, Peter vowed to Christ to lay down his very life in service to him. And Christ assures Peter that that isn't going to happen, at least not yet. He promises Peter that before morning comes, before the rooster crows to signal the start of a new day, Peter will have denied Christ 3 times. And this statement can't have sat well with Peter. He knows who he is. Christ has called him to bring his message of salvation to the world. Maybe that's why he was so quick to act in the garden. In verse 18:10, Peter draws his sword and strikes off the ear of the servant of the high priest. Maybe that's why Peter followed along with the crowd, hoping to be with Christ through his trials, hoping to find comfort in Christ's presence as he goes about trials of his own. But at a question from a servant, "Is he one of Christ's followers?" Peter denies the claim, denies who he is. Twice more, in verses 25 and 26 of the same chapter, Peter is given a chance to stand with his Lord, to lay down his life for Christ, and twice more, Peter denies his association with Christ. Immediately after the third denial, the rooster crows. And upon hearing this sign, Peter remembers the words of his Lord, and he remembers his vow to stand by him. Here, Peter experiences the sorrow that Christ had predicted and promised. Outside of the presence of the Lord and faced with the pressures of the world, Peter loses who he is. He loses his identity, his purpose, and his hope. And it's in this realization that Matthew tells us Peter wept bitterly. We can empathize with Peter's tears because we feel the same sorrow. Because like Peter, we too can feel separated from Christ. We know who we are. Christ has called us in baptism. We are his chosen people and his royal priesthood. We have been called out of the darkness and into the light of Christ. But sometimes that light seems a little farther off. It can seem a little dimmer, a little harder to see. Maybe there's another bill sitting on the dining room table. you didn't expect it, but you ended up in the hospital. And now money's a little tighter than it usually is. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one that leaves your head spinning and wondering where Christ is in your life. Maybe it's just the slow buildup of the everyday pressures of life that leaves you gasping for breath and looking, searching for a Savior. It doesn't take much. Sometimes it isn't even noticeable. You get up every Sunday and you go to church, but slowly the pressures of the world get to you. One day you look up and it feels as if Christ isn't there at all. You feel lost and afraid. You might begin to wonder who you are or why you're here. And it's here that you begin to understand the sorrow the disciples felt at the loss of Christ. But Christ promised the disciples they wouldn't suffer forever. In fact, he promised that the suffering would only be a small part of their experience. He promised the disciples that again, a little while after they last saw him, they would see him again. And on that day, their sorrow would turn to joy. And Peter's sorrow was turned to joy, first in the upper room on the evening after the resurrection, and then again on the shores of the Sea of Tiberias. Seeking a moment to reflect on the events of the death and resurrection of Christ, Peter and seven of his fellow disciples go fishing. And they're fishing all night and they don't catch anything. But by the first rays of the morning, they see a man standing on the shore. And he tells them, "Cast your nets on the other side of the boat." And they do. And they catch so many fish they can barely bring the net into the boat. And John, realizing who the man is, proclaims it is the Christ. And Peter, in joy, dresses himself quickly, jumps into the water, and swims the 100 yards back to shore. He's trying so hard, so desperately, to be back in the presence of his Lord. And it's there, after breakfast, that Christ questions Peter, "Do you love me?" And it's there that Christ commissions Peter to feed his sheep. What joy Peter must have felt. What wonder. His sorrow is gone and replaced with the radiance of Christ's presence. Here in the presence of Christ, Peter again sees his identity as one of Christ's beloved children. In Christ's command to feed his sheep, Peter finds purpose that can only come in Christ's presence. Here, Peter finds that Christ's presence provides the strength to stand against the accusations of the world. And here is Peter's joy, that no matter how badly he fails, Christ is with him and loves him still. In the same way, Christ pulls us up out of our sorrow and despair and into joy. He doesn't come to us with gifts of fish, but he does come to us here. He comes to us here in his church and at his altar. In Holy Communion, Christ comes to us and feeds us here. Here in his presence, we receive the strength to carry on against the pressures of the world. And giving to us his body and blood, Christ renews our identities as his beloved children. And as our identities are renewed in him, so too are we changed. In receiving his body and blood, we become a part of his body here on earth. We become his church, gathered together for our mutual consolation and to bring his message of salvation to the world. As we have been fed and reaffirmed in the presence of Christ, so too are we called with Peter to care for Christ's sheep. As we have been called together to receive his blessings and presence in our life, so too are we called, as his church, to bring his blessings out into the world and to be his presence in the world. As his body, the church, we are called to support one another, to help to guard against each other against the pressures of the world and our own sinful desires. And we are called to love one another, proclaiming Christ's forgiveness of sins and his love to each other when we fail. And we are called to bring Christ's love out into the world, to love our neighbors, to speak out against the ungodly actions of the world, and to proclaim Christ's message of salvation to all. In fulfilling this purpose which Christ has set before us, we daily see Christ's presence in our lives and reaffirm our own identity within him so that we might stand against the pressures of the world. And so we, like the disciples, have found that our sorrow has turned to joy. While the disciples experienced their sorrow in the midst of the arrest, torture, and death of Christ, We find our sorrow in our inability to see his presence in our own lives. But just as the disciples found joy in the resurrection of Christ, so too do we find joy in his presence here in his church. Because it is here, in his presence, that we are renewed in our identity and purpose as we are called to be his church. And now, may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.